For high school students, yearbooks are an annual milestone, a chance to inscribe messages of eternal wisdom to friends and chart their place in the social cosmos of the schoolyard. A couple of decades later, of course, you may feel a little differently about that mohawk you thought would look totally cool in your senior photo, or the hearts you drew around all the pictures of the cute boys. In any case, as this year's students grab their yearbooks before hitting the door to summer, we ask you to look back. Is there an embarrassing yearbook story to share with us? A way of something to come back to haunt you? Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can email us, TOTN@npr.org. All names will be protected to save the innocent. While for most of us, our yearbook regrets are generally pretty trite, every year there are a few stories of yearbooks that stir controversy. Boynton Beach High School in Florida made news this past week for a photo in its yearbook. In it, the senior voted most whipped sits at the end of a leash held by his girlfriend. The problem? The young man is black. His girlfriend is white. The photo has aroused outrage in the community, especially from the boy's mother. Jacqueline Nobles joins us now from her home in Florida. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. When did you first find out about this photograph?
Last Tuesday, on the 17th, on the 17th of May.
When the yearbook came out, in other words.
Correctly.
Your son didn't tell you anything about it ahead of time?
No, I just happened to pick up the yearbook, an extra yearbook, which was a friend of his.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you look up your own son, and?
And I wanted to see more pictures of him and flipped through the book and found the page with my son with the belt around his neck, and I deemed it inappropriate.
How does your son feel about it?
Oh, well, Robert feels that he was just having fun. And that it wasn't offensive to anyone, and it was only for high school students and not for parents or anyone else in our society. But I would not want my son to be in a picture that could be offensive to myself or anyone else.
Well, I know you've gone to the school authorities. What are they planning to do about it?
Well, basically, they took stickers and passed them out. I don't know how the students obtained the stickers, but they do have them. But I read a...
Stickers to cover the picture.
Yes, I read a commentary that indicate the students were putting the stickers, the pictures back on the back into the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I think is, you know, like a... is not enough that's being done because this book is still in circulation. And I don't know what my son is going to grow up to become later on in life. And I feel that picture can come back and... he may have the answer for it.
Mm-hmm. And the other part of this is you found out basically when it was too late, the yearbook had already been published.
Correct.
And somebody at the school maybe might have wanted to take a look at this picture and raised a red flag 6 months ago.
Exactly. It should have been. It should have never been photographed. However, after the book was published, there was the yearbook advisor who saw the book, and he didn't stop the book from being circulated. And to me, I think it could have stopped there. But you know, when adults aren't being responsible, this is the kind of situation that happens for children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, well, I won't even call him a child because he's a young man, and although he's not experienced in life as I am and so many other adults, and don't realize that there can be consequences to our action.
Jacqueline Nobles, good luck. I guess the cat's out of the bag, but good luck trying to get it back in.
Rick, thank you very much.
We appreciate it. Jacqueline Nobles joined us from her home in Palm Beach County, Florida. She's in the process of trying to recall a derogatory photo from her son's yearbook. As high school life changes, so does the look of your average high school yearbook. Joining us now is Mark Goodman, Executive Director of the Student Press Law Center, has extensive experience working on high school yearbook issues. He's with us here in Studio 3A. Nice of you to come in today.
Thank you.
And I guess that situation in Florida is unique. On the other hand, does that sort of thing come up from time to time?
Well, you know, I think it's worth putting it in perspective. For every conflict like that or controversy that arises, you know, there are thousands of yearbooks that don't cause any conflict or controversy. So they are relatively rare, but it is an illustration how, you know, anyone, whether they're student journalists or not, can not anticipate the reaction to something that they intended with you know, the best of goals, making some lighthearted comment about mm-hmm. the relationship between this boy and girl, and just didn't anticipate the reaction based on kind of the racial overtones of the students involved.
Mm-hmm. And again, the boy in this case thought, as his mother said, hey, this is just for the students. It turns out it's not quite just for the students.
Well, you know, the reality is the publication is for the students. They're not the only ones who see it. And you know, that's a frustration, too, I know, for a lot of yearbook staffs is, you know, their idea is we're creating a book for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're creating a publication that describes our year as it is, as it was. And the fact that, you know, parents sometimes react differently, I don't think is always an indication that the yearbook has made a mistake. It maybe means that they haven't perhaps as fully imagined who their true audience ultimately is.
I wonder, when was the last time you looked at your yearbook?
You know, I actually had occasion sometime in the last month to look at my high school yearbook.
And how bad was it?
Well, you know, bad in the sense that it was bad 70s fashion, but in terms of the substantive quality, it was only, you know, bad in the sense that it was a yearbook of the 70s. You know, today yearbooks are so much stronger journalistically than they were then. They cover real issues. They include stories, not just photos. They really attempt to be a chronicle of a year, and that wasn't the case nearly as often when I was in high school.
Here's an email we got from Rudy in Salinas, California. When I was a senior, one of my classmates wrote a cruel message in my yearbook. We weren't very close. We knew each other because we both wrote for the school newspaper, but I never could have predicted that she would actually write in my yearbook, "Rudy, you are horrible." One thing's for sure, I was glad I wouldn't be seeing her again after graduation. I guess there are a few yearbooks with time bombs like that inscribed in there as well.
Well, and certainly when folks allow others to write in their yearbook, they open themselves up to that risk, I think. So.
Let's get some callers on the line. If there's a story about your yearbook you'd like to share with us, or even wincingly share with us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Peggy's on the line with us from Salt Lake City in Utah.
My junior year, I was very, very cool. You know, everyone else was trite, but I was like an honest person.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to parody all the things that people write in yearbooks. So I had a rubber stamp made, and it said, "Dear," and then I left a blank because when I stamped it in their book, I wrote in their name.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said, "It's been a great year. Love you, Peggy." And I stamped it in my friend's yearbooks, and there are people that are still mad at me.
Can't imagine why.
I, even at the time, I couldn't imagine why, because it was just a parody of everybody else.
Uh-huh. 30 years.
30 years it's been. They're still mad at me.
So they never forget, Peggy. There's another lesson. There's another lesson about yearbooks. I hope you improve by your senior year anyway. Thanks very much for the call. Now, Peggy's conundrum, I think, is more typical of the problems that people have with their yearbooks. But what kinds of controversies, when controversies do develop, what kinds are there?
Yeah, you know, today the controversies that we see most frequently are when school administrators are don't want to see certain kinds of content in the yearbook, in part because they think it presents an image of the school they would rather not see in print. And there are a couple of recent controversies, or one at least that became a court case, in Florida, a situation where a school prohibited the yearbook from publishing a photo of a female student, a senior portrait of her in a tuxedo. The rule that had been established was that the students either had to be wearing a drape or a tuxedo. The unexpressed part of that rule was the boys are in the tuxedo and the girls are in the drapes. Well, this was a young woman who said she was not a drape kind of gal and she wanted to be wearing a tuxedo. She had her picture taken that way, and the school principal prohibited it and actually removed the editor of the yearbook because she stood up for the student's right to have her photo included in that context.
And who won the court case?
Well, it didn't go to court. You know, in fact, I think the student whose photo was rejected contemplated, but ultimately decided not to pursue it.
Let's get a caller on the line, and this is Jill. Jill is with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hello. I just wanted you to know, because I'm proud of it, that I was both class clown and student body president in high school, which I know is an oxymoron.
It's a rare double, yes.
Yes, but I have I have absolutely loved telling people that throughout my life, and I'm 44 years old, and I still try to live up to both. So, and then in my senior year in college, I decided to again follow up with that image and had my picture taken with some sorority sisters with our two front teeth blackened out. And people actually recognized us on campus and complimented us on our chutzpah, but my grandmother told me that people who don't even know me were going to think I was ugly.
And what could your dentist say after all those?
I never dated a dentist either.
May explain it.
That's true. So anyway, the yearbook has followed me, and I have just having that image, I've absolutely loved it and been proud of it.
That's an odd thing about yearbooks. They do follow you around. They are not only milestones. In some cases, they're millstones.
That's absolutely right.
Jill, thanks.
Thank you for the show.
Thanks very much for the phone call, Jill.
Bye-bye.
We're talking with Mark Goodman of the Student Press Law Center in Arlington, Virginia, about yearbooks. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. Russell. Russell's with us from Syracuse, New York.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Great. I had a story. What happened with my yearbook was in eighth grade, I knew that I was leaving town for high school. I hated where I grew up. And so I quoted the song Thunder Road in almost everybody's yearbooks. I said, this is a town full of losers, and I'm pulling out of here to win.
Quoting the boss there.
Yeah, exactly. And ultimately what happened is about 6-7 years later, I came back to be the best man at a wedding. And a couple of the people who were involved at the wedding remembered that I had written that in their yearbook and chastised me for it at the time.
Uh-huh. That can't have been easy, but I wonder, coming back to that town after all those years, were you right?
Well, ultimately, by the time I got back to that town, I had established this kind of weird reputation as a rebel or something. I don't know. When I was a kid, I didn't fit in, and it wasn't cool. And then after I left town, my brothers who stayed there told me that because I didn't fit in high school, I became this person who people talked about like, oh, yeah, he was really cool. He didn't fit in. So when you're a kid, I guess that's not good. And then as a teenager, people really respected it. And years later, they just kind of made playful jabs at me.
Well, Russell, good luck. And think about that 25th reunion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Thanks. Here's an email from Brian Rose in San Antonio, Texas. In my senior high school yearbook, I was left out, forgotten. I wasn't even listed under not shown in our senior pictures, and I was nowhere in the index. I was unfortunate, especially when I paid $50 to hopefully be in a book where my classmates would remember me. Luckily, though, I am marrying my high school sweetheart who was in my class, so I'm assured that at least one person will remember me.
That's a yearbook staff's worst nightmare, I think.
I guess. Now, yearbooks, are they a publication of the student body? Who controls yearbooks, or are they a publication of the school?
Right. In most cases today, yearbooks are produced by a group of students, either in a class or in some extracurricular club that's assigned responsibility for producing a yearbook, very much like a student newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the students can vary in their levels of experience and expertise. But again, I think what's remarkable, and those of us who remember our yearbooks from, you know, decades earlier, how different yearbooks are today than they were 20, 30 years ago in terms of the quality and the substance of them. They really are a much more insightful picture of high school life than I think they were in the past. So.
Getting news of another Florida yearbook story. Bonita Springs Middle School administrators last week cut pages out of the school's 2005 yearbook containing photos of students flashing gang signs, as well as one with a line making fun of a student's weight. So all of those things have to be taken into account. I assume every school has an advisor who follows this process.
They do, and advisors are involved in, you know, helping the student staff of the yearbook decide, you know, what will be included, what won't. And helping the students make their own wise decisions. But, you know, the problem is this, is especially for an image that's or a publication that's largely based on images, you know, to look at every photo and look at the position of every subject of that photo's hands, every slogan they may have on their T-shirt, you know, it's very, very difficult, and problems occur, conflicts arise. You know, one thing that many yearbooks have gotten away from doing is publishing things like quotes submitted by students with their photo. because they've realized students will try to sneak things in that they don't want to see in print. And so the yearbook staff itself have said, no, we're not going to do that.
All right. Let's see if we can get another caller in. And this will be Pam. Pam's with us in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I had my senior yearbook picture taken with an oversized picture of Robert Redford. My daughter has the same English teacher, and when they were studying The Great Gatsby, the teacher embarrassed her that I was making out with Robert Redford in my yearbook photo.
That must have made for an interesting day after school.
Yes.
What did you tell her?
So, thank you.
Well, what did you tell her?
What did I tell? Well, she's seen the photo. Everybody knows the photo, and... of course, it's just like, Mom, why did I have to go to the same school that you did? But I think it will just add to the lure of the photo in the yearbook.
It will live on forever, much to your regret. Pam, good luck with that, and thanks very much for the phone call.
Thanks for taking my call.
We appreciate it. And Mark Goodman, we wanted to thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Mark Goodman is Executive Director of the Student Press Law Center and was kind enough to join us here in Studio 3A. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.